Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is January 18th, 2017. Just 2 days to go till the inauguration. The countdown is here. Well, the countdown for the economic system has been underway for much longer. And here with us now, Andrew Hoffman, milesfranklin.com. By the way, any emails, questions, comments, etc., KL at KerryLutz.com. That's KL at KerryLutz.com. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. You know, it's funny, in 15 years now of being in the center, and I guess maybe 12 or 13 of doing podcasts and articles, I can't think of, aside from, I don't know, Bernanke and Janet Yellen, a single person I've spoken more of in such a concentrated period of time than Donald Trump. Because, you know, as I said back in September, if he'd won, it would be like a Brexit times 10, and it's coming to fruition. I mean, it's really remarkable how he's regressed, how he's changed over time. First, he was the character from The Apprentice, which is his true nature, and then he toned it down and became a politician just in time to win, and now he's back to being his old self, which is insane. As I said yesterday, he's a loose cannon. And he's burning far more bridges than he's building, and candidate Trump is about to become President Trump, and I think this, you know, the ramifications for the world are going to be dire. Of course, they're probably going to be better than what the Wicked Witch of the Western Hemisphere would have brought us, but it's the world is the honeymoon, this fake meme Trumpflation honeymoon is about to end in a few days, and it's going to be a scary transformation for the world.
Well. Unfortunately, I don't think there was any other candidate that could have beaten the Wicked Witch. No one else would have taken her on the way that he did, and really, there was no one else that could have done what he did. So you were right. Damned if we did, damned if we didn't. Look, there's and I know, I just wrote a newsletter yesterday, Trump cannot save the system. Right? Mm-hmm. The system can't be saved, so maybe we're better off like on the Titanic and letting the band play, letting The Apprentice, go into renewals, right?
You know, I think of what Gerald Celente always says, I'm a political agnostic, et cetera. So am I, I guess. But he says that I would never vote for the lesser of two evils. I would only vote for someone I like, and I'm going... No, sometimes you have to choose the lesser of evils, not just politically, but in life. And, you know, that's why, you know, again, my article 2 days ago was called The Loose Cannon versus the Wicked Witch. We had to vote her out. And pretty much I would have voted for anyone just to make sure that we'd probably be at war with Russia by now if she was in. So, from that perspective, yes, I'm happy. But you know, it was only 3 days after he came in and I was so vehemently supporting him that I wrote Turning on Trump. It was an audio blog, and I said, look, he's not going to be able to do a single thing that he's promised. It was all campaign rhetoric to win, and here we are at the point, you know, everyone expected that if he won, it would be so bad, so when he did win, the market manipulators just went berserk that morning, and they created this meme where hit gold and buy lead and zinc and stocks, and the point is, there's absolutely nothing to it, and the death of Trumpflation is upon us. The death of Trumpflation is upon us simply because interest rates can't go up. There's no way that the world could survive it. So here we are today. I don't think I've ever been more worried about the state of not just America, but the world.
Well, the death of Trumpphoria might be upon us very shortly, too. The reality starts It's well, yeah. Somehow we'll move along. I mean, I don't think the guy is evil. Okay, having met him a number of times, I don't get the idea that he's evil. He has a sense of humor, unlike the rest of them. The hallmark of an evil person generally is they don't have a sense of humor.
No, he's not an evil person. No. He's just, he's just an egotist. I mean, we're all egotists at heart, him sure. more than others, and he's got the money and the power to back it up, which has increased it. But it's really not about him. It's about the distraction from the true state of the global economy, the fact that global currencies have crashed. For the most part, most financial markets are in bear markets, other than the major PPT, as I call them, the last to go markets, like the PPT supported Dow Jones propaganda average. And and from my perspective, protecting wealth with precious metals, yesterday was, in my view, one of the most important events in the 15 years I've been watching, the most importantly precious metal bullish events ever. Because let's face it, you go back to 1995 when Robert Rubin was hired as the Treasury Secretary for Bill Clinton. Robert Rubin, who helped coerce Bill Clinton into repealing the Glass-Steagall Act and making Goldman Sachs that much more powerful and pretty much destroying the world. But back in 1995 when he came in, that's really when the modern gold cartel started, or as I call it, the New York gold pool, which is covert as opposed to the overt London gold pool in the 1960s. And, he came up with that term, strong dollar policy, just to kind of, in my mind and Gatta's mind and all the people watching this market, simply a propaganda meme to hit precious metals and keep the Achilles heel of the fiat monetary regime in check. Because in those 20 years, the United States has not only not done a single strong dollar policy type of actual action, but they've destroyed the dollar. I mean, we've had zero interest rates and QE and all kinds of things that have caused inflation to rise. The only thing that's gone up in recent years has been the dollar's purchasing power against other toilet paper, which has nothing to do with a strong dollar. But the fact is, just by simply reiterating that we have a strong dollar policy, it's kind of like the Goebbels thing. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. It underlied everything. Even when we're in the middle of QE4 or QE3 and zero interest rate, they just kept saying that we have a strong dollar policy. Well, the fact is, we know we don't have a strong dollar policy. And as I've been saying forever now, the worst possible thing for an America that's falling apart with losing all its jobs, its manufacturing jobs, let alone when Trump wants to bring those jobs back, is a strong dollar, because it makes us uncompetitive in the manufacturing realm. So Trump came out yesterday or 2 days ago and said what we in our sector all have known to be true for 20 years, which is the U.S. does not have a strong dollar policy. And he flat out said the dollar is too strong. We are getting killed in a manufacturing sense, and we need a weaker dollar. In other words, the final currency war that I first talked about 4 years ago was taking thermonuclear, and that's the name of my article yesterday, because for now until the end of time, we can never ever again say, or pretend is the better word, that we have a strong dollar policy. So, anyway, the second part of that article was saying that the gold cartel's unnoticed because they have just lost their number one propaganda meme of the last 20 years, which is why I think a big reason why precious metals have turned around, and a big reason why I think this could be, as I've said before, at the year of monetary revolution.
Yeah, well, it certainly is looking that way. And it's almost a repeat performance, of last year. December, precious metal prices firmed up. They stopped going down. They appeared to be oversold, for lack of a better term.
And I'll give you a better term.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a better term. It's funny you should bring that up, and thank you for the softball, because it was just last week. I'm looking for the I don't remember which article it was, but I wrote about how I put a table in showing that, here it is. It's called Gold's Uncanny Fourth Quarter Decline, showing that in the past 6 years, meaning 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and don't forget, the gold cartel's point of no return was in September 2011, when on the day that the Swiss pegged the franc to the euro, which couldn't have been more gold bullish. That's when they attacked gold from its all-time highs. And from that day on, it's been nonstop 24/7 suppression. Well, anyway, from 2011 to 2016, the average fourth quarter decline for gold has been about 12%. And this after 30 years, a 30-year average of the fourth quarter being the best quarter for gold demand, or I should say for gold prices, always. Primarily because of the Indian buying season and the lead up to the Chinese New Year. So again, it just shows you how determined they have been to end the year poorly for the precious metal sector. Because of course, what that does is when you have big money like hedge funds losing money on their precious metal positions, they don't want to go back in the next year. Their investors don't want them in there. It's just that simple. And that's exactly what happened in the fourth quarter this year and last year.
Relative performance to the Dow also it makes stocks look better relative to precious metals, right? I mean, all of that figures into the equation, right?
Yeah, and actually, I wrote back in December 27th, I wrote an article saying it was called Gold Bottoming in December, yet again in late December, and I couldn't even believe it. I saw a chart. Well, I believe it being that I'm in the business, showing that this gold sentiment index, I'm not even sure who put it together, hit an all-time low, meaning since it was created 29 years ago in late December. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, think about how bad things have been from a sentiment perspective for how many years, to think it hit an all-time low in December, and that was after Trump won, and with all the currencies crashing and with the Indian cash ban and the Chinese yuan devaluation, that just shows you how beaten down a lot of people are, capitulating at the end of the year. And look, here we are a few weeks later, and gold has gained back, what was it, 1130 at the bottom, and now it's 1215.
Yeah.
You know, people just don't understand. You can't trade rigged sectors. You just can't do it. I mean, you can try, but you're going to lose. The whole point is we don't invest in precious metals. We buy and hold them because we know that over time they always win out.
Insurance policy. Against the stupidity of man. And there's one commodity that there's never a shortage of, and that's stupidity, right?
Yeah, and there will be shortages of precious metals. I mean, everyone, again, I write a lot of articles. Google the one I wrote two or three weeks ago called The Most Important and Gold Bullish Chart Imaginable. And basically, I found the chart that shows that now the mainstream is saying what I've said all along, that gold peaked in production last year, not 2016, 2015, and it's going to fall by at least 20% in the next decade. Production.
And silver, too.
We're going to have record demand. Yeah.
Silver, too. Hey, and look at the exchange rates today against the dollar if you want to have a good laugh, because after Trump makes his weak dollar argument, which is really just what we all know, everything is red. The Aussie dollar, the loonie, the yuan's up a little bit, the euro is down, everything's down. Counterintuitive, just like the market after Trump's victory. And
consider also, and again, the market after Trump's victory was due to the powers that be met when they saw gold up and stocks down and said we're going to triple and quadruple down on our manipulation. We can't let this surprise election result, end the game for us. So they just bought themselves a little more time. But again, the whole thing, I've said for a million years, the whole thing about the strong or weak dollar. Go to all my articles. I think I wrote two or three on the same topic, said that's called If a Nuclear Bomb Destroyed Europe, meaning if a bomb destroyed Europe today, the dollar would surge against the euro. There'd be no more euro. But does that mean the dollar's strong? Does that mean it'll buy more gold or more food? No, it means it'll buy more euros.
It's relativism.
It's a meaningless comparison. So again,
it's relativistic.
So Trump comes out. What's that?
It's relativistic.
Yeah.
It's not
so Trump
inherent
comes out
value.
And says, I want a weak dollar. Okay, so how do you propose to weaken the dollar against the euro if there may not be a euro this year? I mean, what if Marine Le Pen wins and Geert Wilders wins,
you're right,
and Angela and the AfD party wins in Germany, and Italy votes a five-star movement guy, and Catalonia secedes, and Greek Grexits, and Britain Brexits, and all that stuff? Do you really think it's going to be a positive reflection on the dollar if it goes up against the euro? Or how about the yen? I mean, just how much harder can the Japanese try to destroy the yen? And the yen is the second biggest component of the dollar index. So again, what is exactly a strong dollar? A strong dollar. Again, you have the PBOC. They peg the yuan to the dollar. How do you strengthen the dollar against the yuan if it's pegged? So again, it's all nonsense. But the fact is, when he says the dollar is too strong, he's essentially saying we will do more overtly. We need to do more overtly to weaken the dollar. It doesn't matter what the dollar index does, but to weaken its purchasing power. And then you know, today my article that just came out, it's probably not out yet. It's called First Trump, Now Dudley, Yellen Next, because Bill Dudley, you know, number two guy at the Fed, comes out yesterday. I can't even believe this. I'm just in shock. I was listening to Schiff the way he put it, you know, that these are the greatest monetary minds in the world, supposedly, saying this stuff. He comes out and gives a speech yesterday saying people need to, again, like they did back in the early 2000s, they need to cash out of their houses and buy stuff, go into debt and buy stuff. And, can't make this stuff up. That's the desperation. And of course, that can't happen unless interest rates fall. And that's when I wrote, a week ago, 2.5% enough said. I said, everyone expects interest rates to go up. And I said, how could they go up? I said, years ago, they can't go up, and they can't go up now because it'll crush the economy. So what Bill Dudley is saying is, yeah, we need to do more dovish things to get rates down. So when will Janet Yellen do it? I mean, she wants to keep her job, doesn't she?
Hey, well, you know, it's just a game. It's just a merry-go-round. And if I remember correctly, Trump is an expert in merry-go-rounds. He did renovate the Central Park merry-go-round. So It's the monetary merry-go-round. And It's as productive as a merry-go-round because nothing gets produced on a merry-go-round, right? You just have a couple of laughs, your kids have fun, and then you're on to the next ride.
And it's not like there's anything he can do to fix things.
No.
I mean, he could sit there and say nothing, which is better than what he said. But, you know, again, you know, it's always the next guy's worse. It doesn't matter who it is.
Hey,
we knew that Bush would be worse. We knew that Obama would be worse.
Of course.
And we knew that Trump will be worse because he's given a worse set of circumstances.
And one point I want to make is all these jobs coming back, all these companies – they're just saying this. They might have been planning to do some of it anyway. Nobody's going to hold them accountable if they don't do it. They just don't want to get tweeted by Trump. So it's like, hey, oh, we're going to invest $5 billion in digging up sand in Nevada and moving it to Utah. It's garbage. It's sophistry. Yeah. It's nonsense. It's never going to happen.
Jack Ma at Alibaba saying, I'm going to create 1 million U.S. jobs.
Yeah,
all
right.
He's saying is, well, I want Alibaba to be used more by Americans, so maybe they'll, like, sell stuff on it. That's not
right.
Job.
Or Amazon, you know, we're just going to create 100,000 jobs. You know, we'll just have people take big rocks and make them into small rocks.
What they're saying is like Alibaba. They're saying
we
intend to become a bigger company, which will in turn create more jobs.
That's sophistry.
Yeah.
It's pure sophistry.
Yeah. And as for these car companies, there's way that any of them are going to do what they say because it's not good for business. Again, like you said, they're just saying it because Trump is all over them and they just want to get the PR, you know, and let this pass.
They're
not going to build billion-dollar plants in the United States that are going to lose the money. That's ridiculous.
It's just like you saying or I saying, you know, I'm going to buy a Prius and save the world, or I'm going to recycle more and help save the earth because I'll feel so much better about myself. It's the same crap.
And he's even telling BMW, who's not even American, that they should be building their plants in America. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But the thing that gets me the most, okay, and I've said from minute one, we all know that Obamacare can't ever be, replace it with what? But you can't get rid of it once it's there. That socialist genie's out of the bottle. You can't just tell all these people that you need to vote for them and not to pitchfork you that you're taking away what you just gave them, and let alone the
logistics. Well, they're not getting anything. Obamacare is a shell game. They're not getting anything. So if you got rid of it, the only people getting anything under Obamacare is Obamacade. 20 million people on Medicaid. And you know what Medicaid is? That's just like you go there and you get dirty needles and dirty scalpels. I mean, it's a fraud. We all know.
The point is, he's sitting there going, now we're going to replace it with something that's cheaper and you get better coverage and better service. And I'm going, why are you digging the hole deeper? Why can't you just blame it
and
on
anyone can get it? Anyone can get it.
Blame it on demographics yeah. where it properly should go. Yeah.
Anybody can get the insurance. You just go ask for it. You go to your local motor vehicle office and you wait online for 2 days and you too will be able to get insurance, right?
Well, yeah. Well, it's like, again, my article the other day was called Candidate Trump Becomes President Trump and all it entails. It's like, you know, the stuff he's doing now, it's almost like he doesn't realize he's been elected already. He's still is he campaigning for the next election by trying to get General Motors to say they're going to build jobs or telling everyone there's going to be Obamacare or Obamacare, there's going to be health insurance for everyone? Why are you promising this stuff? You can't deliver it, and you don't have to deliver because you were already elected. So, I mean, look, again, it's not about him personally, but he is – you know, the thing that I've said all along about him, even when I was in the heart of my supporting him, was the thing that scares me the most about him is because he's probably one of the most undiplomatic personalities celebrities that I've come across. And he is showing it in spades. You know, you can't piss off the Chinese and the Russians and the Mexicans. And again, there's so little talk about how much damage he's done to Mexico in a short amount of time. Not that Mexico was such a great country.
They had it coming.
But, you know,
that's a drug deal, narco-terrorist state, you know? Like, look, it's...
I was just saying to my wife, you know, we went there last year for vacation. I'm not going back to Mexico.
I don't think it's a wise move.
As far as I'm concerned, Mexico is going to become persona non grata for Americans the way a lot of other places are in the world right now.
I think it has been for a while, or large swaths of it.
But now that Trump is there and the currency is crashing, he's saying, I want to take all your jobs away, and he's threatening the president of Mexico. They still like us because they want us to go to Cancun and Riviera Maya and spend money, but it's gotten to the point where Mexico is really falling apart, not to mention that the falling oil prices and the falling oil production. I mean, and they just raised their energy taxes by 20% to meet their deficit. I mean, this is becoming a very dangerous place, and it's right on our border. And if we try to build a wall, and you know, we'll create, it'll be like Europe, where we're actually creating a major dangerous enemy right on our border.
Yeah, this could be interesting. So, anyways, it's definitely getting interesting here, and we're going to have to see where this thing winds up here, huh?
Look, the one thing that I'm sure of, with 100% certainty, is that this year will be the year of money printing, draconian government action, and ultimately monetary revolution. And so, you know, I sit here and I own my physical gold and silver. I own some Bitcoin. You think I'm worried? I'm worried about the state of the world. But I, you know, from a financial standpoint, there is nothing more guaranteed than what happens in the end stages of a fiat Ponzi scheme. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah, that's where we're at. So, hey, well, go check out Andy's work at milesfranklin.com. Check out ours at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Questions, comments, emails, kl@carrylutz.com. That's kl@carrylutz.com. I got the nastiest email yesterday. It was like... it was racist, bigoted, and everything else. Like, they think I don't like Trump. I do like him. I think he's an entertainer.
You're racist for not liking Trump?
Racist. It was a racist email against Obama. It was anti-Semitic. I mean, they hit everything on this one. I just laughed at it. It was so ignorant and funny. And told me to take them off the email list. Well, hey, opt out of the email list if you don't want to be on there, okay? If you can't figure that out, you'll get the email next week. So just ridiculousness. And Andy, I think I'm going to be in Vancouver next week. So we're on for Wednesday, be at the resource show. I'm sure all of them are happy with a weak dollar policy. All the miners, they should be up in the aisles rejoicing. So I'll let you know what their attitude is there, and I'll say hi to some of your old friends.
And Andy Shackman will be there too.
Oh, Andy's going to be there? Oh, good, good. Okay. So I'll sit down with Andy. We'll have some fun, And yeah, make sure you tell Andy I'll be there. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday, okay?
All right, looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.